Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 9. And I wanted Pastor Josh to read that passage because really, to be a New Testament church that honors God, we want to magnify Jesus. I know you know that. They were called Christians first in Antioch. In that church at Antioch, the word Christian was an earned title. And I know some of you are aware of that. And oh, to be like Jesus. And if I could become more and more like Christ every day I walk this earth, and if you could do the same, man, we would grow in grace, and there is so much for us. There is more for the church than you and I understand. There is more than meets the eye. And I don't want to sound spooky about that, but I want to preach some things this morning. We're going to jump around a little bit in our Bibles. As a matter of fact, this type of message this morning that I'm going to preach would be a little bit more appropriate for the Sunday night crowd, but because I'm preaching through the book of Revelation on Sunday night, I've got to get one of these in here this summer, and we're running out of summer, so God laid this on my heart, and I want to share with you some things that I have learned from the Bible. But 1 Corinthians, obviously, things that I've learned from the Bible, but I want to make them very appropriate to you, so you would understand it. Just think on them a little bit this morning, and I would understand, and you might want to write some of them down, because everything I'm going to share this morning goes against the fur. It rubs against the grain. Everything I'm going to share just doesn't make sense to the carnal mind, to the fleshly mind. But if we're going to be more like Jesus, everything I'm going to preach this morning, they're the very things that Jesus exhibited while he was here on this earth. I've learned through Bible study that many times where we are to go as New Testament Christians is the opposite of the culture. And the things that I'm going to preach this morning are things that are just the opposite. If you were to get a business degree in a university, they would teach you much of the very opposite of what I'm going to preach this morning. If you were to go in the military and go to officer's school, you would hear much of the very opposite that I'm going to preach this morning. But that being said, those that are successful in business and it's lasting, and those that are successful in the military and it's lasting, they evidence these very things that I'm going to preach. It just goes against our thinking. Stand with me one more time and let me read 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians verse 2. Chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, you've heard me preach this verse before. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God, again, we pray your blessing. You have a whole lot for the church. Some of it is in the future in heaven. And some of it is right now. God in heaven, open our hearts and open our eyes to truth. And Lord, if there's someone here not saved, not born again, they need you. May they hear the gospel today and may they trust you for salvation once for all. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me start out this morning by testifying just a little bit. I look around in my life, personally, in my life, and I see the blessings of God on Tim Rader in every direction that I look. And I'm not talking about just the superficial things, the things of life. I'm talking about deeper things, deeper than that. Not the shallow, not like a car, not like some clothes or a house or things of that nature. I'm looking far, far, although God has blessed me there too. But God has blessed, you know, my children love Jesus. I'm so glad for that. And I want them to never get over Christ and to love Jesus more and more every day and to grow more and more in grace every single day. As a dad, that is a personal, great, the biggest blessing of all. The biggest, to see my grandchildren being raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, man, that sets my heart on fire. The blessings of God, all that comes to me, all that has been given to me has been given by the hand of God, and the blessings are, my cup runs over. My cup is running over. And there are things that I've learned in the Bible that I want to convey to the next generation. I want to convey it to you as well. There are some things that You know, to the flesh just does not make sense. There's a lot of things you could title this message this morning. Bible principles. You could title it Unconventional Holy Spirit Truths That Will Change Your Life. And I'm telling you, you might want to write these down. Unconventional Holy Spirit Truths That Will Change Your Life. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them, these things that I have not seen nor ear heard. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man that is in him? I know Tim Rader. I struggle with him, but I know what's going on in his head right now. And you would be afraid. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So in other words, Paul is saying we need a teacher. We need a guide. We need a director. We need the Holy Spirit of God, and we have Him as New Testament Christians. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, there's the problem, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Some truths just don't make sense to the earthly mind. And if you're all caught up in your own flesh, even as a child of God, if you're all caught up in your own flesh, I'm going to say a few things this morning, and you'll agree with me with your head. You say, yeah, that's right, preacher. But you're not willing to practice it in your life. And some won't get anything I say because they're the natural man. They're not born again. They don't have God, the Holy Spirit, living within them, teaching them these very things. Some of the things that I'm going to share, they're just so very infantile, so very elementary. You'll agree with me, but maybe you just haven't been thinking about it for quite some time. Now, Pastor Josh read the scripture. They were called Christians, little Christs, there in Antioch. The unbelievers in the city of Antioch looked at the New Testament Christians, New Testament believers in the church at Antioch, and they said, they remind me of Jesus. I never met Jesus, but I heard about him, and what I heard about him, Jesus, they must be a whole lot like what Jesus was and is. And we need to get to the place, our end of the peninsula needs New Testament Christianity. We have got to get to the place where people see Jesus in us. Number one, first truth. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. I've learned these. I've been taught these by God the Holy Spirit, by other men before me that I sat under their ministry. I listened to them. I hear the words of Jesus here, and I have to say a big amen. It's a fact. It's the opposite of what the world says. But the way to be great is to be small. Business will tell you, military will tell you, be the take charge guy, beat your chest, tell everybody you're number one, cause people to fear you when you walk in the room, take big steps, make lots of noise, be the bull in the china shop, be that take charge kind of guy and that take charge kind of personality that is willing to bully people in order to get your way. Jesus said, hold on there. That's the way the world thinks. That's not for my people. Matthew chapter 20. Verse 20 says, Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, the sons of thunder, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And I wrote here, typical mom. I wrote that right here behind verse 20. Here's mommy's going to take care of her two grown men boys and provide for them a place in the kingdom. This is the helicopter mom, right? Okay. I just wanted to throw that out there just to kind of keep you on edge. Verse 21, all you ladies, quit staring at me right now, all right? Verse 21. And he said unto me, what wilt thou? And she saith unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I shall be baptized with? And they say unto him, we are able. And he saith unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them. That was the division started. Verse 25, Jesus says this. Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them." That's the world's way. You get a stick and you bully people around. You get a platform and you use it for your own benefit. That's the world's way. The Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You want to be like Jesus? New Testament Christianity? You be a servant of all. You be a minister. Don't be looking for authority. Don't be looking for power. Don't be looking for prestige. Don't be looking for self-advancement. The wise man once said, "He who tooteth his own horn plays the solo." Yeah, that's the truth. You start telling anybody how great you are in order to gain some position, man, you know, and you may gain the position. The world does it all of the time. But you won't have God's blessing. Be a servant. Our deacons, they're servants. I dare say some of you don't even know who the deacons are. They're servants. They help the pastor. They do what needs to be done. The word doulos means servant. It means slave, that Greek word. If you're going to be great in the kingdom of God, you'd be the servant of all. God's way is to generate greatness is found in humility and in service. The way to be great is to be small. That goes against the grain. But oh, to be like Jesus. Some of the greatest pastors I know, they're servants. They do menial tasks. They're not above anything. That's a servant. By the way, that is a general men will follow into battle, even in a hopeless situation. The way to be great is to be small. That's number one. Now go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. You know, I want to read a parallel passage. Go to Luke chapter 9. I'm sorry, Luke in chapter 9. We could read Matthew 10, but I want to keep this moving. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Now hear these words. This is just the opposite of what your flesh tells you. The way to win is to lose. The way to be great is to be small. Let God do the promoting. True promotion cometh from above. The way to win is to lose. Luke and chapter 9 and verse 23. And he said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Need to be a cross bearer. Not talking about salvation. He's talking about discipleship here. The cross is an instrument of death. No such thing as a padded cross. It's an instrument of shame and death. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross every day, daily, and follow me." I'm doing it. You follow me. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And Jesus goes on and teaches much more about discipleship here. But the way to win is to lose. It cannot be gimme, gimme, gimme. It can't be, I've got to promote. I've got to get more. I've got to get above everybody else. I've got to be the alpha dog. I've got to be in charge. It can't be that attitude. If you're going to know the full blessing of God, you'll just let go of yourself and let God be God. If you're going to know the full blessing of God, you lift up the cross that God has given you in your life and you'll carry it every day. And you'll follow Christ. You won't carry that cross doing your own thing. You'll follow Christ. It's a difficult thing to do. This world is looking for leadership. The world is going to find leadership in servants of God. There's a great phrase that a lot of Bible colleges use, and it speaks to servant leadership. Anybody that goes in the ministry thinking they're going to get a great big pulpit and they're going to drive, live in a big, beautiful parsonage and drive a big, beautiful car and they're going to preach just a few times on Sunday and that's it. And they're going to be able to wear all the nice clothes and never have to sweat, never have to skin their knuckle and never go into difficult situations. You're going to get a Bible college degree, and because you got that degree, you think you get something automatic. And I'm saying the world today needs pioneers. The world today needs servant leaders. The world today, we don't need a difference between the laity and the clergy. That's not what we don't need the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. We need men of God, and we need women of God. We need young people of God. We need boys and girls of God who reflect Jesus Christ and are willing to be small, willing to take the back seat, willing to stand behind the scenes and hold the ropes and do whatever it is that needs to be done. God bless Fundamental Baptist Church. We got good people here. They're all sinners. I know it and you know it. But God bless Fundamental. We had an old couple. I won't embarrass them this morning because they're old. But they cut a whole bunch of OSB out here for the connector building by themselves. Last Thursday, there were two young couples from the church, husbands and wives, out working on the connector building by themselves. Friday night, there were more people out here by themselves, following instructions and working on that connector building. Yesterday, we had a crew of people here. Man, it's been a busy, busy summer. God bless people that are willing to be servants. Servants. Doing what you can do. Carrying your cross. That is Christ-like. By the way, I bet everybody that worked out here had grass to cut this week. And they all had jobs. And it takes sometimes a little bit of sacrifice. The way to win is to lose. I went out to find a friend and could not find one there. I went out to be a friend and shock. I found friends everywhere. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. A servant is the man who's going to just be outgoing and reach out to people for Christ and not be have their nose twisted because somebody didn't acknowledge them or someone didn't reach out to them. I think the preacher might be mad at me. He didn't shake my hand this morning and leave with the nose bent out of shape. When the Bible says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. I came across this poem. Let me just read the line to you again. It's real simple. I went out to find a friend and could not find one there. I went out to be a friend and shock. I found friends everywhere. That's how it works. That's how it works in the family of God. It's just the opposite of the world. The world is you try to find people to serve you. But in the family of God, it's just the opposite. You look to serve your brethren. You look to serve other people. You look to reach out to the lost, those that aren't born again. Luke in chapter 6, if you would turn there, Luke in chapter 6. Oh, let's start. Go to 2 Corinthians 8. 2 Corinthians 8. You got to be quick with those fingers. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. By the way, I hope you're to Genesis chapter 20. We're reading through the book of Genesis and the remainder of the month of August. And if you're keeping up with us, you're to Genesis chapter 20 right now, 2.5 chapters a day. And if you fell behind, catch up, please. It'll help you grow as a Christian. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. He says, I want to remind you of the grace of God that has been bestowed, that has fallen upon the churches of Macedonia. Man, the churches of Macedonia were being greatly blessed. The churches of Macedonia, man, they were evangelistic centers. They were seeing people grow in the grace of God after salvation. And the church was growing and swelling and then growing. And they were hearing the word of God. And man, it was just unbelievable. They were giving, and they were a giving kind of church. It says in verse 2, and Paul is writing the church of Corinth about the Macedonian churches. He says, I remind you of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. He said, in spite of the persecution, in spite of everything going wrong and all the pressure from the outside, in spite of their deep poverty, they were the most giving people I know. Paul says in verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Again, Fundamental Baptist Church, God bless you. I think when when people are due some pats on the back and they're not looking for it, you ought to get it. And God has blessed you. And some of you are big givers. Some of you give, some of the biggest givers give sacrificially. God bless you. Go to Luke chapter 6, the one I wanted you to go originally. Luke, and now I've changed my mind again. Luke in chapter 6. I think it's verse 38. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. Here we go. Verse 38. Give, Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall all men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. Just continue to. Now, it isn't about giving. But although giving is a good definition, I don't mean just money. Giving is a good definition of New Testament Christianity, because that's exactly what Jesus did, and we're to be like him. He gave everything that he had. He held nothing back. The Apostle Paul was probably the greatest New Testament Christian that ever lived, and he said to the church at Ephesus when he was leaving them there on the seashore, say, man, I held nothing back. I gave you everything. That is New Testament Christianity. So I commend you. We had our connector building offering and the regular offering, and that offering that week was over $25,000. That was 2 weeks ago. That was tremendous. Biggest offering ever taken at Fundamental Baptist Church. I don't want you to think we're rolling in the bucks. It's all going in the building. But I mean, you know, wow, you know, it was a good big offering. The regular offering was a big offering, and the connector building offering was big. And you know what happened last week? The offering was $23,000. And only 700 of it was connector building. And I'm thinking, wow. What happens when all God's people get together? Now, don't you not give this morning thinking your brethren are giving. Because if it's a down offering this morning, you know, but I just challenge. God bless you. God bless you. And I know this for a fact. And I don't look for it, and just people reveal it to me sometimes. Not people in the office. People tell me themselves. Some of you have been blessed of God, and you give just like the churches at Macedonia, out of your poverty. You know, some of us give out of our wealth. No big sacrifice. God, you give me this and I'll do that. And, you know, I understand. And it's good. You be faithful. But some, the widows might give sacrificially. God bless you. A man brought a tithe in a couple weeks ago. It was his tithe during the week. $1.50. That was his real tithe of that week. Hey, the widow's mite. That was the week of the big offering. God bless you. This is different than what the world says. The way to give, or the way to get, is to give. Gimme, gimme, mine, mine, and I'm number one. I'm sorry, but that is not New Testament Christianity. These are unconventional New Testament Holy Spirit truths. The way to be great is to be small. Work on that. I will too. The way to win is to lose. Don't have to get my way all the time. The way to get is to give. You need to work on that. I will too. John chapter 12, last text. Gospel of John chapter 12. The way to live is to die. John chapter 12, verses 23 through 27. You know, I mentioned people that are sacrificially involved in the ministry. This does not happen without the anointing and the blessing of God. This does not happen. I'm talking about everything around us. This does not happen without God's people that are servants and give of themselves. Not everybody has a lot of money, but you give. And give of themselves. And I was thinking about this week in my prayer time. We're coming up, we're approaching another school year. You know, our teachers make, I think, roughly speaking, for the Maplewood Baptist Academy, $260 a week. Big bucks. Big whoop, huh? Some of them don't leave the school until 5:30 or 6 at night. I can testify to that. I see their cars over here. It's a ministry. They work at it. And they don't complain. That's how things work. The Bible camp ministry wouldn't happen without servant leaders. Wouldn't happen without the people in the ranks just willing to sweat and work and do God's work and do their part. Man, I just tell you, and I don't want to keep alluding to it, and I haven't alluded to it for several weeks. I think I did it at the beginning of the summer. There are people, there are men that have skills, and they have saved this ministry thousands of dollars. Thousands and thousands of dollars. The Connector building is a miracle building. It really is. Man, another great thing happened, but it's a miracle this week. It's a miracle building. It's of God. God bless you. Look here, John chapter 12, verse 23. Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. They maybe didn't understand what he was saying, but what he was saying is, fellas, it's time. It's why I've come. I'm going to be crucified. Men, watch with me in prayer. They're going to kill me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die. And he was talking about himself. It abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. No more powerful words have ever been said than these words of Jesus when he said, my soul is troubled. He knew what was going to happen. He knew the pain. Far more than the physical pain. He understood the sin of the world would be placed on his perfect body. And he would become sin who knew no sin. That's why I get excited about Jesus. And I'm going to heaven because of his righteousness. You understand, when he went to Calvary, he became my sin bearer. When he went to Calvary and he fulfilled all righteousness and he allowed sinful man to nail him, to whip him, to scourge him, to go through the mock trials, to nail him to that old rugged cross, to hang him up on the cross naked, ashamed before the entire world. For 6 hours he hung on the cross and he did that. He did that and became a sin. He became sin. Think of the most wicked thing you've ever thought. The most wicked act you've ever committed, that was on Christ when he hung on the cross. Think of the most debased debauchery ever committed by man in this world. Times it by 7 billion, he times it by thousands more. That's what was on Jesus when he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the sun went black as God the Father turned his back on his only begotten Son, the Son that he loved, because my sin was on him. Took it to the grave. Rose again on the third day. And I get the righteousness of Christ. I traded my rags for riches. It's all because of Jesus. Man, if you're here and you're not born again, you know why we get excited about Christ here? He's the great Savior. He paid it all. And you know what I love about Jesus? He provided for me not probation, but a pardon. It's all been paid for. Tim Rader's going to heaven. One day you're going to read that old Pastor Rader kicked off. He finally died. Good riddance, man. He was a plague on this planet. No, he's finally gone. And the deal is, I'll be in heaven at that moment. I'll be in God's heaven. Oh, wretched man that I am. But I'll be in heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.